This is the Morrow Midday Show.
But wait, there's more.
On ESPN Radio.
Yes, back again. Shady's back. Tell a friend. Guess who's back? 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 Guess who's back?
Final hour of the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Coming up, we'll get to my picks for the football weekend. Plus, as we head into week 15 of the NFL season, no teams have clinched a spot in the playoffs just yet. That could change this weekend. But obviously, this time of year, the games are huge for the playoffs. So coming up, playoff implications. Who has the most pressure on them this weekend in the NFL? Got plenty to do here as we wrap up a football Friday this afternoon. Bowl season has gotten underway. Let's see. They're still at half. Toledo leading Middle Tennessee at the half, 17-14 in the Bahamas. Ooh, big game. I'm sure you've been waiting for that one. Couldn't wait for that game to get underway. The Morrow Midday Show is brought to you by Baker Roofing. They've been in business for over 100 years. They're one of the largest, most recognized roofing contractors in the U.S. They provide residential and commercial roofing. And in 1915, Baker Roofing Company was founded on the promise of always good work. So give our friend Matt Johnson, general manager of Baker Roofing Charleston, a call or head on over to bakerroofing.com for more information. You can check out their incredible history or see all the different roofing types that are available online at bakerroofing.com. Over 100 years of always good work, Baker Roofing, bringing you the Morrow Midday Show each and every day. All right, before we get to all that stuff that I just mentioned, plus, I'll give you some thoughts on the Celebration Bowl as well. But before we do all that, you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. Let's first go to the phones. Alex is with us from downtown Charleston. Alex, what's going on? How are you?
Good. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we got you. What's up?
Good. Hey, I had a question. I had a conversation with Bobby yesterday.
Yeah.
And my thought is, what do you think about when coaches join a team that are not performing well and they bring a new coach in? Does that change the fan base? Because Bobby thinks that, like, bringing a coach in is going to change the fan base either way. And I said to him that probably coaches probably impact about 20 to 30% of the action of a team. I was saying to him, what if Dabo joins the Jaguars? He's like, oh, they'll lose the fan base. And I said, well, how do you say that? And, you know, from the Giants, Parcells came in there. Did it change the team that much? No. It was the team around him.
So are you asking how much impact do coaches have?
Yeah, so like Parcells, you know, you're from Connecticut. Parcells came to the Giants. The fan ticket, they're not going to buy tickets, and the fans are not going to care about the coach too much. It's what he brings to the team. Like, they're not buying. You could bring in Rick Pitino from Iona to coach, you know, team right now, but who's going to follow him? But I was saying to him that, you know, if they brought down Dabo to Jaguars, he's like, oh, the fans won't. If they'll lose the fan base. I'm like, why would they lose the fan base?
Yeah, I appreciate the call, Alex. I would say in regards to that, in terms of, like, selling tickets, I think it depends on the coach, and then it depends on the wins. Right? So if you were to bring in, and I think Urban Meyer kind of had this appeal and effect originally on Jacksonville when they announced that they hired him. But if you bring in a big-time coach, I think it's exciting for that fan base. For example, this would be a complete hypothetical that would never happen. It's pie in the sky. But say Bill Belichick leaves New England. You could pick any number of teams that if he went to, a bunch of losing franchises, I think that does energize the fan base. I think that would help with season tickets to begin. So just hypothetically speaking, just say Belichick goes to the Jaguars now. It would never happen. But he's got a home in Florida, right? He's done his part in New England. Hypothetically speaking, Bill Belichick leaves New England at the end of this season and goes take the Jaguars job. I think that does add excitement to the fan base. I think that increases ticket sales, interest in the fan base for the Jaguars. But then with that said, that only buys you so long. You only have so much of a buffer period. Because even if Bill Belichick, greatest coach of all time, then goes to Jacksonville and they start off something like 2-5, then it doesn't matter. Then that fun wears off. And it doesn't matter who you are or what your name is. They want you to win games. So I think from that standpoint, if I'm understanding the premise of the theory or the question, I think it is important certain coaches have that impact based off of their brand and their name. That you hire them, they could have success. But or you hope that they have success. But if they don't, then you lose that appeal. So I think it's a little bit of twofold. Now, in terms of impact on the actual team, I think there is no sport where coaching is more important than football. So if you also want to talk about the impact these guys could then have, I think it's the biggest in football. I think you need a good coach to win. How often have we seen bad coaches win championships or Super Bowls? I mean, you could say maybe somebody like a Mike McCarthy, right? But he's doing pretty good in Dallas now after we were all laughing at him a year ago. And then obviously he also had Aaron Rodgers. That helped. Sometimes a good quarterback will be enough. John Gruden has been boosted by that Super Bowl. I don't think he really is all that great of a coach, but he did win that Super Bowl with a legendary defense, and I think that overrates him a little bit. But the majority of coaches who win Super Bowls are good coaches. Or even if you just look around the league, the teams that are in last place usually just are poorly coached. The teams that are in first place, yeah, usually have good coaches with a good track record. So I think coaching is huge in the NFL. In baseball now, you could see what they think about their coaches because their managers are not really paid all that much anymore. You know, it used to be Joe Torre used to make $6 million a year. Now, the majority of the league in Major League Baseball, the managers don't even make $1 million, which, I mean, to you and I, right, that's big-time money. But when you want to talk, when you want to compare what the college football coaches are getting, the NFL coaches are getting, even NBA coaches, Major League Baseball, the managers, you know, Aaron Boone's getting like $800,000 to manage the Yankees. And it's a longer season. You got more games to work. So baseball, it's the front office getting paid more. Tells you what they think of their managers because it's all about the numbers now, the analytics. In the NBA, you're like a babysitter when you're a coach. But in football, all about the coaches. You have to have the proper scheme. You have to, in college, you have to be able to recruit. It's why the money is so large in college football and the NFL. And those contracts are going up because of the importance of the coaches. So I think in terms of the impact, I think coaches can have a large impact on teams. That's why you see a new coach come in and a team turns their season around right away from one season to the next if you hire the right guy. You could kind of point to like a Mel Tucker right now at Michigan State. And maybe he's even being a little overrated at this point, but you see the difference. You bring in a new coach and they start doing things a little bit differently. You hire the right guy and it turns around a franchise. So to take that a couple of different angles, in terms of a coach's impact on a team, I think it's very large in football. In terms of an impact on a fan base, I would say that originally you're going to get that pop, but then if you're going to lose games, it doesn't matter anyways. You can hire Bill Belichick to any franchise. It will immediately energize that franchise, that fan base. They'll be really excited. But then if you start the year 2-8, it's like, oh, who cares? I don't care if it's Belichick or anybody else. And in regards to, you know, Parcells, he came in and he won in New York. He took over for Ray Perkins, who was, you know, a disappointment. And then when you start winning, of course, everyone's going to love you. And he did in his first year, but by year two, he had that thing humming along pretty well. But for Parcells, what was the story of Parcells? Didn't he take he was going to take a head coaching job at one of the Navy or Army, and then he realized like, no, this is too hard, and he bailed. But that was his first head coaching job at the Giants. So when he was hired, I don't remember what that was like back in the early '80s, but I don't know if that got you excited about it. Yeah, I'm looking up his it was Air Force. That's what it was. He went to Air Force for a year. And then realized, no, it's too hard to win here. And he bailed and then got into the NFL a couple years later. Just a random anecdote. But my point being, when you hire a big name, I think it does energize the fan base. If they lose, it doesn't matter. But I think coaches in general have a big impact on teams. If Dabo were to leave Clemson, would it affect the fan base? I'm sure you'd be disappointed. But if you were to no longer be a Clemson fan, I would say you're never really a Clemson fan. You're a fan of the team and the program, not the players. So those are all just my thoughts just in general about coaches. Appreciate the call, Alex. I don't know if that's exactly the avenue you were going down or asking for, and I took it a couple of different ways. When it comes to coaches, those would be all my thoughts in regards to football. We have the Celebration Bowl going on tomorrow, which is always an exciting thing, and it's really cool that South Carolina State is in this game. In fact, if you went to ESPN.com, let me see if this is still the case because I noticed this earlier this week. It was on the front page of, I think it was their college football page. not the actual homepage of ESPN.com, but when you click on the college football tab, it was one of the top stories, and it includes South Carolina State, so that's pretty cool. An important game tomorrow, and it's Deion Sanders on one side, Jackson State against South Carolina State. I'll be honest with you. I'm not the biggest Deion Sanders guy. I always appreciate some humility. I don't like somebody when they refer to themselves as primetime. Right, when you give yourself a nickname or you just refer to yourself kind of like in the third person using a nickname. And even when he was working as an analyst and he would interview players and he'd say, Prime here. I mean, come on, what are we doing here? Enough of this whole primetime stuff. And then he walked out media day because they wouldn't call him like Coach Prime. The media members, we talked about that at the time. That was going back to August. I just don't like a lot of the arrogance, if I'm being honest with you, that comes with Deion Sanders. And then you have the local tie. I'll be rooting for South Carolina State. In the game itself, look, Jackson State's a top 15 team at the FCS level. South Carolina State turned their season around, but they finished just hardly over 500. I have not looked at some sort of betting line, but I'm sure Jackson State's a big favorite. But what I'm curious to see is Deion Sanders. We know he can recruit. We saw that this week at early signing day. His team has had success, but he's going up against a pretty good coach on the other side. And I want to see this coaching matchup and how well Deion and his team can do. Maybe he just has more talent, and talent will win out tomorrow. But in a big spot like this, I want to see Deion Sanders, you know, on the big stage as a coach. What can his guys do for Jackson State tomorrow against South Carolina State?
Now, Wayne Amunk's Corner is predicting a 24-20 win for South Carolina State.
How about that?
That's right. I'm agreeing with him. In part, and so now Wayne was concerned about which state team will show up.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the team that was early in the season or later in the season. But here's the thing. Early in the season, those are all their money games and things like that. So not really a fair comparison. But once they got into MEAC play and playing at the same level, you know, hey, they swept everything.
Yeah, and you would also imagine that how they finished the season would be the way that they would continue to play. They got off to a slow start. As Joe mentioned, you play Clemson, you play New Mexico State early on in the year. And then since you start playing better football, you'd imagine they would continue that trend. As they finish the season winning, what is it, five of their last six? These are two of the top defenses in FCS football. South Carolina State has the top defense in their conference. Jackson State, I believe, has the top defense in all of FCS football, I want to say, or they're up there. So they're two defensive teams, so maybe we'll have a pretty low-scoring game like that prediction of, what, 24-20? And when you have a team that may be an underdog, and let me try to find what Vegas has the line at, because I would think Jackson State would be a pretty good favorite. But when you have two defenses like that, and you have maybe a team that is, you know, somewhat of a big favorite. This is too simplistic. This is captain obvious, but a lot of times it comes down to turnovers as well. So if South Carolina State can at least take care of the football, and if you get a couple of turnovers, you know, that changes everything. So that may be the case tomorrow when you have two good defenses playing one another. Which one may get the turnovers? Let me see. I'm trying to get a line on this game. But I'm looking forward to watching it tomorrow. And I'm looking forward to seeing Deion on the sideline and seeing how his team does.
And I say prime time for this season will be out of time.
Oh-ho! That's right. Take that.
But here's something I would like to hear from South Carolina State fans.
Yeah.
Okay, the MEAC champion goes to the Celebration Bowl. Now, I don't know if that's a requirement or if they have the option to opt out. And I don't know what the payout is for the Celebration Bowl. But say if they have a really good team one year and they're thinking, man, we can make a good run in the FCS playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Would they rather the Bulldogs skip the Celebration Bowl and make a run in the FCS playoffs, or stick with the Celebration Bowl? Again, I don't know what the payout is for the Celebration Bowl.
Yeah, if all things were equal, I would tell you myself, and I have no emotional tie or anything to the Celebration Bowl, I would rather have my team try to make a run in the playoffs. But as Joe alluded to, I don't know the finances or anything. But if all things were equal, I'd rather try to go win the playoffs. By the way, it's the Cricket Celebration Bowl. Cricket is the official sponsor of the Celebration Bowl. We have a sponsor for everything. And I saw here Jackson State's favored by 10. So they're a double-digit favorite. And I would imagine so. They're a top 15 team, and South Carolina State is 6-5 this year, so you would imagine they'd be a pretty good favorite. So when it comes to that, right, sometimes you got to make up the difference. You maybe got to pull out a trick play or two, and you got to try to get a turnover or two. Try to make up the difference that way to win the game outright as a double-digit underdog. But we'll see how Deion Sanders and Jackson State does tomorrow. It's a noon kickoff on ABC, South Carolina State against Jackson State, playing at the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta for the Cricket Celebration Bowl. So looking forward to it. Well, we heard the prediction. Now let's hear from the man himself, 843-721-9500. If you ever want to join the conversation, let's go to the phones because Wayne is with us. Wayne, what's going on? How are you?
Hey, I'm still predicting that we will win if we play, you know, good ball. Mm-hmm. But to answer your questions, the payout is $1 million to the respective conferences.
Uh-huh.
And in the MEAC, it's like $750,000. It goes to the champion. The rest is split amongst the respective schools in the conference. Mm-hmm. And the payout for the SWAG, you know, where Jackson State plays, is like $850,000.
Mm-hmm.
We played Appalachian State quite a few times in the playoffs. And we played Furman quite a few times in the playoffs. And personally, I'd rather win the national championship at our level. So I agree with you guys. I'd rather go as the MEAC champion to the FCS playoffs.
Yeah.
But you have the lure of Atlanta, the games on ABC, and, you know, you have to pay money to host the game.
Right.
You have to bid in the FCS playoffs. Hopefully they will change that someday. But we actually fought against our champion having to go to the playoffs for years. But once they signed the contract, now seemingly most of our fan base prefers the Atlanta deal.
Yeah, that's interesting. I appreciate the call, Wayne, and best of luck to your Bulldogs tomorrow. Hope they win it. But look, we've seen all the time in college football, decisions are being made simply based off of money. That's why Oklahoma and Texas are going to the SEC. It doesn't give them an easier chance to go win. That easier chance is staying in the Big 12, but it'll give them more money. And for the SEC, the other schools, doesn't make it easier on them to have those teams come into their conference, but it's going to give them more money. A lot of times it's always about money. That's quite the payday. I didn't realize it was that large. Million to the winning conference. That's pretty good. And the winner, he said, got 75% of that pie there. So that's pretty good. So for, you know, if you're like an athletic director or even a school president or anything like that, I certainly would get the appeal. And now, if you thought you could really compete in the playoffs, that's a different story. But otherwise, it's like, man, if we're going to go to the playoffs and you know, only get past the, you know, losing the first or second round, and we have to pay if we're going to host, or we just go to the Celebration Bowl, try to win that game and win $1 million, yeah, that's very appealing. And a lot of times, many will make decisions based off of money as opposed to winning. As a fan, you don't get that money, so you don't care. And even if that money makes it easier for your program to be built up and try to win down the future, you also really don't care. You just want to see wins and losses. Like, if you're an Oklahoma or Texas fan, I don't know, maybe you're not happy about going to the SEC because of the tougher path. You don't care. They're like, oh, we're going to get more money and then maybe better facilities and you could get better recruits. Like, you just want to see wins and losses. You want to go win championships. But from the administrating side, we know, like in all walks, money talks. And that's pretty appealing to go try to win $1 million if you win one game. Go in the Celebration Bowl, as he said, on ABC, national TV. It's on ESPN.com on, you know, their college football homepage talking about the game. You put a price on that publicity and PR, so.
Well, not to mention South Carolina State University has had some financial problems in recent years. And this way, with the programs bringing in more money, go playing these bigger games, playing in the Celebration Bowl, the football and men's basketball teams having to play all these, you know, money games. That way, taxpayer money goes to the university itself, and this money goes to the athletic program, so that way they're not as affected by, you know, the financial crunch.
By the way, did I just see a story that South Carolina State had to move one of their games, their basketball games this week, to like a local high school? I think I skimmed that the other day. I didn't read that story. So I don't know what was going on there. But yeah, hey, I think a lot of these teams, especially South Carolina State, are in that conference. You could use $750,000. Hopefully they win tomorrow. I'll be pulling for them because, you know, as I've already said, being transparent with you, I'm not the biggest Deion Sanders fan, and then just because of the local tie. Of course I want, if I had a pick between the two. I don't know, Jackson State winning does nothing for me.
And speaking of which, their basketball team is coming to town to play the Citadel again, aren't they?
Yeah, Monday, 5 o'clock tip-off at McAllister Fieldhouse.
And see if you can run into Rodney there. Didn't he say he was going to try and meet up with you sometime?
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure he'll be there. He also said he was going to try to go to this game tomorrow. Our resident South Carolina State fan, although now we have Wayne as well giving us his predictions. So good to hear from you guys. And I hope for your sake they win tomorrow. I'll be pulling for him. Let's go South Carolina State. Looking forward to that game tomorrow. That's the lead-up. We got a nice triple header. You watch that game, then it leads to the two NFL games. There's a couple other bowl games going on all day tomorrow. Good little football weekend. Hey, speaking of money, when we come back, I'll try to hand out some money with some winning picks. Let's hope. I'll give you my picks for the football weekend when we come back. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
stick short. Santa wore so much too thin. He didn't come down the chimney, so mama must have let him in. Santa looked a lot like Daddy, or Daddy looked a lot like him.
It's the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow here on ESPN Radio. Get to my picks for the weekend coming up in a little bit here on the Morrow Midday Show. I'm already on tilt this for the weekend. Let me tell you, what a brutal night it was last night. Great game. But as I told you in the show yesterday, we were on the Morrow Midday Show here. We were rolling with the Chargers. We were rolling with the under. If you don't gamble, you may not care. But it was a tough night, let me tell you. I took the Chargers money line. They obviously choked the game. I teased the number as well as the under. And that final touchdown in overtime, put it over. I had Tyreek Hill and Keenan Allen both over 80 yards, and Tyreek Hill blew that number away, and then Keenan Allen ended up with 78. And I had Mahomes and Herbert both over 280, and Mahomes got there, and Herbert never got the football in overtime to have his final chance to get over that number. Just a bunch of bad beats. So already on tilt heading into the weekend. We'll see how things go. I'll give you my picks coming up a little bit later on. But you can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500, to give us a call. Before we get to the picks, let's first go to the phones. Jeremy in Somerville's with us. Jeremy, what's going on? How are you? Jeremy? I guess we lost Jeremy. By the way, I heard Bobby during the commercial break. I heard him yelling and ranting out there. What was Bobby upset about?
Okay, the caller earlier that said that, you know, that Clemson would lose their fan base if Dabo Swinney took the Jacksonville job.
Uh-huh.
Bobby's saying that's kind of taken out of context. So Bobby will respond probably immediately when his show starts at 3 o'clock.
Okay.
So something to look forward to, you know, today on Fan Talk.
That's right. This almost sounds like a wrestling promo or something, right? You get to hear his response coming up at 3 o'clock. You know, Chris Jericho will respond on Monday Night Raw, whatever they used to do in wrestling. Was that the premise of the idea that the caller, Alex, was claiming that Bobby stated Clemson would lose their fans if Dabo left?
I do believe it was.
Okay. All right. So that was the idea. Well, as I said, right, if you bail on your team once the coach leaves, then I would argue that you weren't much of a fan of that team to begin with.
But then again, Clemson fans have always been Clemson fans.
Right.
You know, they didn't bolt, you know, in between the years of, you know, Danny Ford's departure and Dabo Swinney, you know, establishing himself, you know, as one of the premier coaches in the country. You know, the Clemson fans complained, but mm-hmm. they were still Clemson fans.
I'm sure there are plenty of bandwagon fans who would jump off the bandwagon thinking that things were done. But again, as I said, right, you weren't a real fan to begin with. The real fans, of course, you stick with your team, no matter if they change coaches. Otherwise, you were never really much of a fan to begin with. So I guess that was the whole idea. You could hear Bobby's response coming up on Fan Talk. You know, the NBA, a lot of times now NBA fans are not fans of teams. They just follow players. So you're a LeBron fan, you root for whatever teams he's with. I don't think people are the same way with coaches. Do you have that same passion or connection to a coach? And wherever the coach goes, that becomes your favorite team? Yeah, maybe. I know somebody who became a Duke fan just because they like Coach K. And if Coach K ever left Duke, I don't know, maybe they'd root for the new team that he was coaching. But I don't know if there's that same connection with coaches as there are players, even for someone like Dabo. You can always join the conversation, 843-721-9500. Let's go back to the phones. Rodney is with us. Rodney, what's going on? How are you?
Are you there? Yes, I hear you.
Yeah, we got you.
Are you? Okay. I was in an area here where I couldn't be heard, but happened to hear Wayne on there and wasn't sure. I got in the vehicle just as he was in the conversation, but I am going to Atlanta.
Nice.
Hopefully I'll be there before then, but I will be in the stadium to watch the game. My perspective on the way how the event takes place, Florida A&M, who just moved over to the SWAC, as long as your record is good and the committee that does the rankings think that you're in that group, that could be an at-large candidate, you get to go. The last couple of times we were in the playoffs, Coach Pugh's team was an at-large, I think, situation. The only problem with that is sometimes they don't rank the MEAC as a conference that well, so you're penalized, so to speak. So the key thing that I was hearing Coach mention before, the past schedule that they had a couple of games against SWAC, but those teams are, you know, high up there. Florida A&M, Alabama A&M was going into the season as the previous champion. For their conference, the Bethune-Cookman had just moved over as well. They end up being not as strong as they usually are. So the thinking is, if you get strong opponents similar to the FBS level, your strength of schedule will help you out. Well, unfortunately, again, that thinking doesn't always work for you, even if the opponents are well, because it still only depends on how they rank you. So that's why the idea is to go ahead and take advantage of having a sure thing, you know, with the payout and the publicity. But you have to do a good job of getting your fan base and make sure, you know, you support the schools as any fan base is supposed to. So that's the other side of that. In regards to the payout, I heard a different amount. But the main thing is the school, as far as like A&T did, they won it three out of the four times they were there. And they pretty much stacked it on top, and they got a much broader national brand and increased their enrollment as well as their football team. They're in the Big South now, but they still have that brand as being an HBCU as well.
Yeah.
That's my feedback.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Rodney, I have a question for you about the MEAC itself. Like you said, in the last few years, Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman have gone to the SWAC, and you had a couple of teams bolt for the Big South. What's been happening with the MEAC? Is there something internally?
Well,
is there?
Yeah, what it is, Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman are all the way at the bottom of the conference, so they complained about their travel budget being way too big. And when the teams that are up in the north, mid-Atlantic area come to them, they don't bring their fans in, and then overall they're just dependent on their own. So the SWAC, as far as Tallahassee is concerned, is closer to a lot of the SWAC teams. But Bethune-Cookman, from my perspective and hearing people, they mainly went because it became available for them to go because they wanted to have even 12. So Bethune-Cookman is kind of like that little brother that tags along. They are a private institution, and unfortunately, like a lot of schools do, they're having financial issues. So the team itself is strong, but in regards to budget-wise, that's why they just jumped over there. Overall, this is the way how I look at it. The SWAC had a 50-year head start on the MEAC, so they have a good vision, and I compared them as far as the FCS of the SEC, because you're going to have a lot of strong teams, but only one team can get to the Celebration Bowl. Right now, we're similar to, I think, the Big South, where we have six, I think, football-playing schools. But again, everybody was very competitive, and if you didn't bring your A game, you got beaten, and that's what happened to Norfolk State. They lost to Central as well as Delaware State, and they were projected to be right behind us, and that last game should have been the winner goes to the Celebration Bowl, but they stumbled. We not only went undefeated, but we went to their place and won the game. But anyway, I'm going to have to run, but that's the other feedback on that. The reason the basketball game was changed, with the president coming there today, I think they had to have the regular basketball facility not be occupied for a certain amount of time, so they switched it over to a high school because the game was Thursday night.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, I appreciate it, Rodney. That makes sense. Yeah, I forgot about that, too. Yeah, big weekend for South Carolina State. You got the president there, and they got the game going on tomorrow. And you got Mark Jones and RG3 on that broadcast tomorrow on ABC. And Rodney will be in the building. We'll see how it goes for South Carolina State tomorrow. Yeah, by the way, he referenced Bethune-Cookman. I used to do some work on the side, you know, freelance work with Bethune-Cookman, their athletic programs over there. One of their presidents got caught for, like, fraud. They were, like, stealing money. Bethune-Cookman, though, lost, it was something like $60 million over 5 years. They had five straight years of losses financially, and they were losing about $10 million a year. When you're at college and you charge as much as you do for tuition, look, I'm sure there's a bunch of overhead. I don't know. I've never run a college before or worked in one of those positions. But I don't know, with the amount of money that you make on tuition and everything, how you can operate at such a financial loss like that. In that case, I think there was also some fraud involved with the president at the time. But five straight years where they were losing like $10 million a year, at least, for Bethune-Cookman. They fell on some hard times. I think they still are. 843-721-9500 to join the conversation. Back to the phones. Rob is with us. Rob, what's going on? How are you?
Good, good. Good afternoon. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
One thing I learned a long time ago, no matter how much money somebody makes a year, somebody out there can figure out how to live paycheck to paycheck on it.
That's a good point, yeah.
Now, the one thing that I wanted to mention is when you're talking about Clemson fans, now, as a lifelong Clemson fan, I grew up with season tickets going to the games. I still have them. I grew up in the 90s when things weren't so great, you know, with Ken Hatfield killing the program and Tommy West failing at CPR until Tommy Bowden. Now, what pisses me off the most is Clemson fans that couldn't tell you anything about the program before 2016. And anything that we can do to get rid of those losers, I'm all for. You know, anybody can be a fan when you're winning. That's easy. It drives me up the wall. You see people coming out the woodwork. It's been happening. Any little chink in the armor, and they're wanting to go, then you know, good for them. Good for Clemson too. So that's all I got to say.
I appreciate it, Rob, and I agree with you. Right on. I love the passion. Yeah, it's the thrill of victory and the agony of defeat. Now you got to be there for the bad times as well as the good times, just like when you take your vows at the altar. You just can't just come around when the team starts to get good. So as I said earlier, if you were to bail on a team because they lose the coach, you weren't really much of a fan to begin with. And I know there's a ton of passionate Clemson fans, but we also have to be realistic. There's plenty, like Rob just alluded to, there's plenty of bandwagon fans based off of the success they've had in recent years. And if you're a true passionate fan, just like Rob laid out, yeah, you wouldn't mind seeing some of those bandwagon fans disappear. Because when you, it's kind of like, I don't know if it applies directly. The example I always use is like when you discover a band before anybody knew it. And then once everyone else gets to know it, and it's kind of like that was like your thing. And for Clemson, to be a fan, to go through those hard times, and then to see somebody latch on and just get to deal with the success. Like, forget that. Like, I was here for all the bad years. You don't have to go through any of that. You know, you feel like even though you're both rooting for the same team, you're not in that same category. They're not on the same level as you as a fan of that team. And fans, it's the one thing that you never bail on. I don't get it. I'm guilty of it too, but I can't explain it. You go to a restaurant, and they have bad service, bad food. You stop going to the restaurant. You watch an actor or a director, and after two of their movies, you think, this guy makes terrible movies. You stop paying to go to their movies. In a relationship, somebody keeps letting you down, you move on in that relationship. But for some reason, sports teams, no matter what, you can never leave them. You can't change that team. It's the one thing. I guess that and kids, because even marriages end. But kids, your children and your sports team is the one that you truly have that love for that will never go away. Everything else, you're willing to make changes. You'll stop going to that restaurant if it lets you down. You'll stop watching a certain actor or TV show when it's no longer good. But those sports teams, you never leave.
Now, we also had one of the callers to Bobby's show yesterday who called after, I think it was Alex or Alexander, and he said that he's a big Jacksonville fan,
mm-hmm.
and he said the problem there with Dabo, you know, taking over as coach, the Jags fans want a coach with pro experience. You know, they've done the thing with Urban Meyer, you know, the college coach. Okay, so that, you know, didn't work out, even though, you know, think about this. He doubled last year's win total and didn't even finish the season.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you have to remember, too, the first coach, his name escapes me right now, that was his first pro job when he was the head coach at Boston College.
Yeah,
this
Tom
is back
Coughlin.
In the mid-90s. Yeah, when the club first started.
Yeah, they've liked their college coaches. They started at Coughlin. They got Doug Marrone. I mean, he went to Buffalo in between, but, you know, he was a Syracuse coach and then became head coach of the Jaguars.
Now, how about Jack Del Rio? Was he did he have pro experience before taking that job?
I think that was his first head coaching job ever, anywhere.
But was he a pro assistant before, or was it strictly in college?
Yeah, no, he was in the pros. He came from the Carolina Panthers, actually, to Jacksonville. But yeah, they and then obviously Urban, they like their college coaches. I do agree with that sentiment, though, that you need, I think after the Urban experience, you need a proven commodity, and you need, most importantly, an adult in the room. And I know people are talking about, like, Jim Caldwell, who coached Peyton Manning, right? That did pretty well. Matt Stafford is 66 years old, longtime coach. You need somebody like that to come in and kind of clean it up after what has seemingly become a disaster there in Jacksonville. I don't know if Dabo would be the right guy, or at least have the right timing here to take over for Jacksonville, even if Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne are there. Anyways, I'll give you my picks before we go as we get ready for the football weekend. Hope to have a winning week. And also, maybe if we have time, circle back to the importance of this weekend for a handful of NFL teams. It's the Morrow Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
Now back to the Morrow Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
Give me my picks for the weekend here in the Morrow Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio on a football Friday. Little Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers, huh? Get you in the holiday spirit. May not be, you know, Islands in the Sun, but...
Stream, I think it was.
Oh, Islands in the Stream, whatever. Islands in the Sun, wasn't that Weezer? Islands in the
Yes,
Stream.
Yes. Yeah. Different song.
Yeah, I don't think Kenny Rogers and Dolly Parton did that one. Both good songs. And a great duo, an iconic duo, Dolly Parton and Kenny Rogers. Okay, so we got Thursday Night Football wrong yesterday. I give you my picks every Friday in the show, and I give you my picks for every primetime game. Got it wrong last night with the Chargers. We were on a run, too. That was going to be our fourth straight primetime game. We got correct. Anyways, overall in the year, 92-79. So we're 13 games over 500 on the picks. We went 500 last Friday, 4-4 on the picks, 54% on the year. So still doing pretty good. Let me give you some of these picks. We're short on time, so let me try to get through these as quickly as I can. I know I'm usually long-winded when giving you these picks. I exclude the local teams. Obviously, no college football games. Well, there's bowl games, but I'm not going to give you any picks for bowl games. Not yet, at least. There's a couple bowl games I like down the road, but I'm not a big enough degenerate to tell you about Toledo and Middle Tennessee. All right, so we're just going to go NFL. And honestly, I don't even know how many I have. And with COVID, things keep changing, and it's very tough. And you're going to have to, if you're a gambler and a bettor, you're going to have to keep tracking these numbers. But let me give you a few NFL picks. Joe, if you have the intro, let me give you my picks for the football weekend.
It's time to earn some cash.
Woo-hoo!
It's Luke's Picks of the Week.
Great cash, homie.
Let's start with the local teams. We always include them. They're both in the same scenario. The Falcons go to the Niners. They're a 9.5-point dog. The Panthers go to Buffalo. The Panthers are a 12-point dog. Why do I say they're both in the same scenario? Well, they're both on the road, both big underdogs. But not only that, the team they're facing just played an overtime game last week. Teams coming off of overtime on the road that then return home, which is what these two teams had to do, right? So the Niners played a long game, then had to travel. Bills played a long game, then had to travel, even though they're traveling back home. They are 41% against the spread, 35-49. 41%. You played a long game, then you also had to travel, even though you're home this week, right? That wears you out. And it's a big number on top of it. Now, I'm not talking about a three-point favorite, and they just have to, you know, pretty much win the game. They got to win big. So both these games, I'm rolling with the Panthers as a 12-point dog in Buffalo, and I'm rolling with the Falcons as a 9.5-point dog in San Francisco. Look, the Bills, maybe you had a different impression of them going into the season. They're 7-6. Bad offensive line, can't run the football. They've been a 500 team. I know the Panthers have been lousy, and they've lost 8 of 10. But should the Bills be favored by 12 in that game? I think that's too high. Plus, like I told you, overtime game, a little travel involved, a short for them, a shortened week because of a long Sunday. And for the 49ers, I know they're playing good football, but I think this is an overreaction to this past week. You saw George Kittle have a big game. You had Debo Samuel back on the field. You had the Niners winning. I think it's an overreaction. They're at home against the Falcons, 9.5-point dog. I think it's too much. Their backfield is banged up, can't run the football. They let the Bengals back in that game, by the way. And I don't think they ended up covering the spread last week. So I'll take the Falcons and the Panthers as big underdogs. Other picks to give you. I'm going to tell you straight up. It is a square pick, but I'm going with the Patriots tomorrow. The pros are all coming in on the Colts. Colts are favored by 2.5. The professional gamblers are eating up the Colts. So maybe you want to just follow them. I'm going to take the Patriots just simply because Bill Belichick. It's the same reason why I should have taken Saban in the SEC title game. You thought Georgia was the better team, but Nick Saban was an underdog on that other sideline. You may think the Colts are a better team, they're at home, but you got Bill Belichick on that other sideline as an underdog with extra time to get ready for this game. I'm going with the Patriots tomorrow, 2.5-point dog. I think Belichick, with extra time to get ready, will have something up his sleeve to slow down that running game and get a couple of turnovers out of Carson Wentz and win this thing. So we're going with the Patriots, 2.5-point dog. Titans Steelers. Right now it's a pick 'em, even spread. It's in Pittsburgh. We're going with the Steelers. The Titans, I just don't trust without Derrick Henry. The Steelers, when healthy, still have a tough defense. They're at home in this game, and they have extra time to get ready because they played on Thursday last week. Last 5 years, Mike Tomlin, 14-1 when he has extra time to prepare. 14-1 straight up. In this game, you just got to pick a winner. It's a pick 'em, even spread. I think the Steelers win outright, plus their season on the line. I think they play well at home, extra time to get ready. They'll make things tough on Tannehill, and they win the game outright. Let me see, a couple of others. I liked the Seahawks a lot as an underdog against the Rams. I now see that they've taken that off the board, so there must be some real COVID issues with the Rams. So let me just give you two others quickly here before we go. And again, really tough this week. With these numbers are all over the place, and some games you can't even bet on right now because of COVID. We don't know what to expect. Broncos-Bengals. This number's gone up, and I wouldn't take it if it was any higher. You could have gotten the Broncos earlier this week as about a one-point favorite. Would have loved them as a one-point favorite. I'll still take them as a three-point favorite at home against the Bengals. Broncos favored by 3 at home against Cincinnati. You're giving me a veteran quarterback at home with a top-10 defense against a second-year quarterback on the road with a third-year head coach and a more banged-up team. The Broncos are the play. At home, Teddy Bridgewater will take care of the football. They got a really tough defense. They'll probably force a turnover or two out of Burrow, who's playing with some banged-up fingers. The Bengals are more injured right now than the Broncos are. Give me Denver, a three-point favorite. And the last one, Texans-Jaguars. Now, again, this may be a square pick. I know the pros, the betting pros are on the Jaguars, but this number keeps going up. It's at 5 now. I think that's too big. I know you get rid of Urban Meyer. Maybe that motivates Jacksonville. They're at home. The Texans will have a rookie quarterback on the road, and maybe they want to lose this game. But these two teams have the same record. Jacksonville's offense has been putrid. Maybe that was Urban. I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised if the Jaguars win this game. I mean, they are the home team. They should have the better rookie quarterback. But should Jacksonville, even against the Texans, should they be favored by 5 against anybody right now? And even though they're getting rid of Urban Meyer, their interim is Daryl Bevel. He went 1-4 as the interim last year at Detroit. He's done a lousy job with that offense. It's not like Tony Dungy stepping in. So a couple of these games, I'm going against the pros. I'm going with maybe my heart instead of my head here. But I'm going to take the Texans as a 5-point dog in Jacksonville. I don't think the Jaguars should be favored by 5 against anybody. I think that's way too much. And we'll see how we do this weekend. Packers are now 6.5-point favorite. I'll stay away from that one. If Lamar doesn't play, I'd probably take Green Bay. Tough week. They've taken the Browns-Raiders game off the board. Things are crazy right now in the NFL with the COVID cases. But we'll make those the official picks here at the Moore Midday Show this weekend. We'll roll with the Patriots, the Panthers, the Falcons, the Steelers, Broncos, and the Texans. I believe that was 6 games. A little 6-pack for you for this weekend in the NFL, and we'll see if we have a winning week. All right, and those are the picks. We'll wrap up your Friday when we come back. It's the Moore Midday Show right here on ESPN Radio.
You're listening to the Moore Midday Show on ESPN Radio.
It was the night before Christmas and all through the house.
Hold it now, wait. Hold it. That's played out. Hit it.
Don't you give me all that jive about things you wrote before I was alive. Cause this ain't 1823, ain't even 1970. Now I'm the guy named Curtis Blow, and Christmas is one thing I know. So every year, just about this time, I celebrate it with a ride.
Put a funky finish here, Football Friday, here on the Mar Midday Show with Luke Morrow on ESPN Radio. If you ever miss anything from the show, such as the picks for the weekend from last segment, you can always find them on demand. Just search ESPN Radio Charleston however you listen to your podcast. The podcast is also available online at charlestonsportsradio.com and through our free app. Search ESPN Charleston in the App Store. Also allows me to let you know that you can take the Morrow Midday Show with you wherever you go by simply streaming us online, charlestonsportsradio.com, or through your smart speaker, the TuneIn Radio app, our free app, ESPN Charleston, the App Store, online at charlestonsportsradio.com. So many different options. And appreciate listeners checking in from at least, I'm totaling up, let's see, throughout the afternoon, at least 13 different states here on this Friday afternoon, hanging with us on a Football Friday. So appreciate that. Big weekend, of course, in the NFL, where you have potentially elimination spots for a lot of different teams. And the games that are most important when it comes to odds to make the playoffs and the biggest swing, nobody has a wider range of outcomes than the 49ers. Compared to their odds of making the playoffs, if they win to they lose, that's a 53% difference. Point being, Sunday may be the most important for the Niners. Second on that list would actually be the Atlanta Falcons, who play the Niners. That's a big game. But there's a lot of teams where Sunday is a big one in terms of playoff implications. If you miss anything from the show, catch it on demand. ESPN Radio Charleston, however you listen to your podcast. Life is a series of hellos and goodbyes. For now, we'll say goodbye. We'll say hello again Monday at noon to recap anything from over the weekend. It's the Morrow Midday Show here on ESPN Radio.